His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, John chapter 14. So glad you're here today, and I know things are going to get back to normal, and we're all going to be blessed. We're praying for those who, you know, it seems like COVID for a long time was out there, but more and more people that I know or that we know or, you know, have gotten prayer requests, it's coming closer and closer. But God is healing them all, right? I mean, we're just believing that God's healing them all. His presence is still around us. I mean, I believe for His presence. I believe for Psalm 91, it's still in effect. Amen. God is still on the throne. And prayer changes things. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you this morning, and we're going to read probably all of John chapter 14. But as I was meditating on this, I just sensed that God wanted to remind us of some things. Amen. How many know that Jesus meant what He said and said what He meant? Right? There's no ambiguity about it. There's no, if He said it, that settles it. I mean, sometimes you need to get the context and figure out who He was talking to and what references and all of that. But the reality is we got to guard our life by what He said. And what's so cool about it, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the reality is He's not only given us what He wants us to do, but He's given us the power to do it. Right? It's His power. I can't be a good Christian without the Holy Spirit. Right? I can't operate in the things of God without Him leading and guiding and you know, glory to God. But Donnie said something about, you know, that we're a small church. I believe that we're a world changing church. Let me just say that again. It said that the disciples, that they went around the world and they turned the world upside down. And they started out with just a few, right? Glory to God. But I believe in what God has done through our body over the years is you look back and reflect, or you see a picture and you go, did we do that? No, God did that through us, right? And He's going to continue to do so. But let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 1. Today I want you to really grab a hold of what I'm going to tell you this morning, what I believe the Spirit of God wants to say to you this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The heart here is talking about the core of who you are. How many know trouble comes? How many know that, and you can get so wrapped up into it, even from a political standpoint, who wins the election, who doesn't win the election, we can get troubled by all of that. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Is judgment coming? Listen, God's still on the throne. Yes. Don't let your heart be troubled. In other words, you have to talk to your own heart. Let me say that again. You, not me, not the anointed pastor, prophet, event. You need to speak to your own heart. You got to talk to yourself. I give you permission to talk to yourself, but only talk to yourself out of what the Word says rather than what you feel. Feelings are good, feelings are fine, but feelings don't supersede what the Word says. Your feelings might be troubled, but Jesus said, don't let your feelings make your heart troubled. Come on. Right? Do not let your heart be troubled. Watch this. Why? You believe in God. Do you believe in God? What do you believe? Is God with you? Is God for you? Is God against you? No, not according to the Word. I believe in God. I believe what He said. I believe what He meant what He said and said what He meant. And then He said, believe also in me. It's really important. And at the time, today we kind of just take it for granted. Well, yeah, of course, God, Jesus, you know, that's we believe they're different but the same, right? They're one in unity and all of that. But the reality is the men that what he was walking with, talking with at this point, didn't fully understand that. He was a man, just like you and me, different because of what he did and the authority that he taught with, but he still ate, slept, you know, did all the things that we have to do. So they were walking with him. So there could come doubt, and he said, you believe in God, right? And then we're going to get further into that, believe also in me. Come on. How many believe in Jesus? Now, listen to this next verse, because we've listened to this, and I use this particular quotation at a lot of memorial services, but it's really not about the memorial service, it's about us right here, right now. Watch this. It said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. The word mansion there in most translation is dwelling place. Now watch this. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. When we get to heaven, we've all heard this before. Man, I can't wait to see my mansion. Man, it's going to be something up there. Glory to God. And Bonnie's going to have a lot of bling in her mansion for sure. But the reality is I don't believe it's really about a building or a dwelling place. It's about that in God's house is a place for you to dwell. It's a place for you to dwell. It's a place for you to be at home. It's a home that's being established for you, and you're welcome in it. Come on. But watch this. We've already have a taste of that now. Why? Because we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. So when you're not letting your heart be troubled, you've got to reckon back to the fact, Holy Spirit, I need your help with this. And we're going to talk about that further as we go along. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I already am. Anyway, and if I go to prepare a place for you, where was he going to prepare a place for us? What's that? Somebody said heaven. Anybody else? He was going to the cross to prepare a place for us. He was going to the cross. He was going to be the sacrifice so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? He eventually went to heaven and he took his blood before the throne, but it was the whole death, burial, and resurrection that prepared the place for us. Glory to God. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it was through the sacrifice that it became possible for us to become different. Up to that point, under the Old Testament, since the fall of man, there was no chance that man could become right with God because of sin, right? But now, he's prepared a place for me. How do you do it? Through the death, burial, and resurrection. What's my... What do I have to do to become a participant of that? I have to believe. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So it's an experience of faith when you come to the realization that Jesus is who he said he was. And that he's alive. Right? He's not the Jesus that in the church that I went to growing up, and some of you also, he was always up on the cross in the back of the altar, right? That's where he was, but he wasn't really there, right? And he's not the Jesus that you see framed on a wall somewhere. He's Jesus who's alive. He's the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. He's the one that still makes appearances on the earth anytime he wants to. He's alive. He's real. Come on. That same Jesus is the one that we're talking about. And verse 4 says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, come on. You're sitting there and go, huh? Many times the disciples, Jesus would say something and go, what? What did you say? And so Philip's response is kind of like that. He says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said really clearly, said to him, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now watch this. I'm on the other side of that now. Before I got saved, I was on the side that I hadn't come to him yet. But once I've come to him, then I have these things operating in my life. What does that mean? That means this. He's my way. He's my truth. He's my life. Now we're going to get into that a little bit more, but we have to determine that this is the case in our life. Why? Because there may be others who say, no, there's another way. Nope, sorry, Jesus is the way. There might say, well, you know, everybody has their truth, right? And truth is relative. What you think is true is different than what I think is true, but it's all true. No. What Jesus said is truth. What his word declares is truth, right? And I'm the life. There's no way to the Father except through him. You got that? I mean, this is all basic and we know it, but let's go on. If you'd known me, you would have known the Father. Also, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. In other words, listen, we like that. Come on, show us the Father. We want a Moses moment. We want to see his glory. We want to see, you know, the burning. We want to see all that. Show us. And listen to what he said. It's really interesting. He said, have I not been with you so long? Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? I want to ask us this morning, how long have we been with Jesus? How long have we been with Jesus? And yet we want an experience of sight in the physical in order to equate our knowledge of him. And the reality is I know him because he made himself known to me and is continuing to do so. Are you with me? Come on. This is so good. Do you not believe, verse 10, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, you've seen what I've done. You've seen what's happened. You've seen my ministry. Believe in me. Lila had asked before, how many have seen a move of the Spirit of God? How many have seen miracles? Right? How many have seen? Well, listen, if you're having doubts, go back and think about those for just a minute and say, oh, no. I believe in him. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it before, he's going to do it again. My faith is not based on what my feelings are. My faith is based on what I know and have experienced in the presence of God. Come on. Come on. Ooh, this is so good. This is so good. Hallelujah. See, because we think, well, yeah, this was written for them, but it's written for us. Right? You need to become stronger in what you believe. What do I mean by that? You need to live your life out of, I believe. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. So when doubt comes, you go, oh, excuse me, that's not me. That's not me. That's somebody else that you're trying to talk to right now. Because I'm a believer because Jesus has done so much for me. Amen. He's alive and well. And other people might tell you, well, you know, you don't really know Jesus because you weren't baptized this way or you weren't this or you weren't that or you're not saying this right or you're not doing that right or something. You know, if you're really, you need to come to our church in order to really know Jesus. You need to say, oh, sorry, it's too late for that. Right? Because I know Him. Because He's done awesome things in my life. I have no doubt that the same God who sent Jesus came to me at one point and introduced Himself to me. I made Him Lord of my life, and I've been serving Him ever since. Look at verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Yeah. Isn't that an amazing statement? But watch this. And he prays in chapter 17, we're not going to turn there, but he prays and he says, Father, you know, you and I are one. Make them one just like you and I are one. That's an incredible prayer. I said, and what is he saying? He said, I want them to have the same relationship that you and I have. I want them to have the ability to hear from you just like I hear from you. And when they hear from you and do what I tell them to do, they'll have the same results that I have because it's you who are doing the works. Is that still true today? It's absolutely true. So if God did it before, as the old song says, he'll do it again. Right? He'll do it again. He'll continue to do it and do it and do it. Glory to God. I believe in the same Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch this. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Now watch this. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What does that mean? I've taught you a bunch of things. Do them. Do them. And people all the time, and I've thought this before too, wouldn't it have been wonderful to walk the shores of Galilee with him? You know, been there when he's fed the 5,000. Been there when he did all of the miracles and, you know, healed the lepers and all that. Yeah, I mean, it would have been okay, but that's not the space that I was supposed to be born in. I was born and you were born for such a time as this right now. Right? You're occupying the time in time, the place that you're supposed to be. None of you are a mistake. None of you are an accident. None of you are unworthy because Jesus has made us worthy. But watch this. He wants us to come to the place where we understand that our love for him is absolutely equated to our keeping what he says. Right? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if we read something in the Word and it says do, we do. If it says don't, we don't. And you know, we need the fear of the Lord operating in our life. What does that mean? I wouldn't want to do anything, God. The thing I would want the least in my life is to do something that would offend you. Come on. I love you, Lord, so I don't want to do anything that would offend you. Talk to yourself. No, 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 no. I'm not doing anything to offend my Lord. And watch this. I'm going to die to what I want so that I can show him, and not just show him, but demonstrate my love for him more. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And watch this. How many know that our flesh is pretty strong? We get up in the morning and I need, you know, blah, 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 blah. Or they did this to me. They did that to me. And there's some reality and our feelings get involved with that. But we've got to go, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Do I love him more than I love me? Oh, yes, I do. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He says, if you love me, do what I tell you. So if we love him and we say that we love him, there's a line of demarcation that's put in the sand. And if we'll adjust to our thinking that this is the line that I'm not going to cross. So if he said it, I'm going to do it. If he said, don't lie, I'm not going to lie. If he said, don't steal, I'm not going to steal. If he said, right, don't gossip, I'm not going to gossip. If he said, don't slander, I'm not going to slander. If he said, love your enemies, I'm going to love my enemies. Whatever he said to do, I'm going to do. Why? Because I love him. And I'm in awe of him. Are you with me? You know he's holy? Do you know God is holy? He's a holy God. I think sometimes we go, well, you know, he's a loving God, and he is, but he's also a holy God. There's the mercy of God, there's the grace of God, but there's also the justice of God. Right? How many have had people that have said that they love you, and then you find out they really don't? Or their definition of love is different from yours, right? I love you, I love you, I love you, and then when you need them, they're nowhere to be found. I just wonder if in my life, in your life, there haven't been times where we say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and he's trying to tell us to do something or not to do something, and we're nowhere to be found. Right? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Glory to God. You see, I think rather sometimes than in the previous verses, he said, ask anything and we'll give what we want. And we're misapplying that out of the context of saying, listen, ask me what I want. And if you ask in line with that, I'll do what you want. Right? And so, Lord, I need to know what you want before I can ask what I want, so that what I want lines up with what you want. And he says, well, just read my book. Read my book. He said, don't be troubled about anything. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. How many feel that that's pretty hard to do? Come on. Sometimes, Lord, keep your commandments. That's pretty tough. But watch this, because he answers this. And we've used these particular verses for many other things. But watch this now. He says, after all of that, he says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And most of you know that word helper is paraclete or parakletos, and it means intercessor. It means standby. It means so many things, but helper. Let's just use helper today. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, God, that's so tough. I mean, have you met who I live with? Lord, have you met the people at work? Have you met these people? He said, wait a minute. I'm not asking you to do it on your alone. I'm not asking you to keep my commandments by yourself. I'm going to pray to the Father, and the Father do what I want, so he's going to give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. See, once you get saved, it's a settled thing, right? I have the helper on the inside of me that wants to help me do what God wants me to do. So if you're struggling with something, if there's an addiction, if there's, you know, whatever it is, if you're having trouble loving somebody, even including yourself, say, I need help. Jesus says, I've given you help. The helper, the Holy Spirit, who's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. He'll abide with you forever. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me love the unlovable. Help me to help the people who need help. Whew. Bypass that sneeze. I better get it. Whew. Anyway. Excuse me. God, he does. He is. Look at He will help you. But you've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is in you to help you do what God has commanded you to do. Not necessarily to do what you want to do. But Lord, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this. Stop it. Be like Jesus, who said, I only do what my Father wants me to do. I only say those things that my Father wants to say. You will never get to this place if you don't develop a personal time with God on a consistent basis. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I mean, it's so, well, you know, I pray when I'm in trouble. I pray when I need it. I mean, like the guy said, well, let's pray about that. And he said, well, has it come to that? Right? No, prayer is communication. Develop a time with God where you're before His presence and you say, Lord, I want to know what You think. Here it is. I can't tell you how many times in my life when I've needed direction, God has directed me to His Word and given me verses to stand on, to give direction, to be a part of. And He'll do the same thing for us. And we go, well, yeah, when I really need that, I'll spend some time with God until I get that. And how dumb is that? What do I mean? If you develop a time every day to talk with God, to spend time with God, you know, like first thing in the morning. Why? Why first thing in the morning? Well, because you don't want to screw up the rest of your day. Amen. Right? I mean, it's a lot better to get the direction before you mess it up and have to fix it. Right? And so it's better in the morning to say, Lord, here I am. I want what You want for my life. I want, and I know that the Holy Spirit is not just in me, He's with me. And Holy Spirit, I thank You. I honor You in my life. I just want Your direction. Glory to God. And Lord, help me discern between what I think I know and what I don't know and what Your will is. Lord, I just need Your help. And He's there. I love it when I feel the Holy Ghost. I love it when the anointing is there. Woo! Glory to God. But I don't need to feel a thing. I said, I don't need to feel a thing because I know that the Holy Spirit abides in me. So in my prayer time, when I'm alone, when I'm with God, and I'm just in the morning sitting before His presence, reading the Word, doing whatever, I don't have to feel anything. I don't have to have an emotional attachment to the Word because I believe that He's with me. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Again, let's see what he says. The Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. See, the Holy Spirit was dwelling with them because Jesus was with them. But Jesus went to prepare a place for them. A dwelling place of the Most High God. And He went to prepare that place. And He went to prepare that place on the cross with His death, burial, and resurrection. And when He did that, it went from with Him to in them. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit isn't just with me anymore. He's in me. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to go to a special meeting. I don't have to have a special anointing, sing a special song. I just have to believe that Jesus said what He meant and meant what He said. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is not just around me. He's in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've told you many times, but I'll tell you one more time. The thing that drew me to the Lord was somebody I was witnessing to me. And at that time, I was in the world and I didn't want to hear it. You know, in fact, he'd come one way and I'd go a different way. Just don't bother me. But he finally cornered me and he started saying, well, and God told me this and God told me that. Now, I take that with a grain of salt sometimes, with some, because some people are really flaky. Don't be a flake. But some people are really flaky. But he said, God told me this, and God told me this, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And I just went, God told you? God told you? I mean, I grew up in a church that God doesn't speak to you. He speaks to somebody in Rome, and then it comes down the chain, and then finally you're told what God says. Right? At least that was my interpretation of what I was taught. God speaks to you. If God speaks to you, is there a possibility, is there any way that God would speak to me? And He did. And He does. But the Scripture is right here that says He will. The Bible says, man, you've got a friend that's closer than a brother. The Holy Spirit's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. And what's He going to be in you for? To help you love Jesus by doing His Word. Come on. It's the most important thing He can do is, Lord, I want you to know that you know that you know that I love you. I want you to know that you know that you know that I love you. So, Holy Spirit, if I've ever ignored you, if I've ever pushed you away, if I've ever not been diligent toward listening to what you have to say, I want to ask you to forgive me. Because I want my relationship with you to be stronger than it's ever been. I don't want to just sing, I love you, Lord, and I'll check back in next week. Right? No, it's, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And the Holy Spirit helps you do that. The Holy Spirit helps you do that. The Holy Spirit wants to help you, direct you, guide you in how to love Jesus more. And then when you're having trouble doing what He's commanded you to do, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Help me. Help me. And then stand back and listen to what He tells you to do. You know, there have been times in my life where it's like, the Holy Spirit would tell me to do something that was a little bit out of the ordinary. It's like Renita and I have always tithed. In fact, we tithe by faith sometimes we tithe more than what we bring in because we believe God wants us to give increase. And the first part of next year, I'm going to be teaching on stewardship and what that means. It's easy to tithe a dollar on $10, right? It's easy sometimes to put $10 on $100. But when God blesses you extraordinarily, and all of a sudden it's not just 10 and 20, hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars. You go, now, Lord, what's the amount that you want me to give? Because I you have to stop. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to give? And sometimes it's extraordinary. And you have to just, but Holy Spirit, I just trust you. And you know what? He's never failed us. Never, ever, ever, ever failed us. I'll tell you, one time he had us give away a car. Just give it away. Here you go. Nice car, too. It was a nice car. It wasn't, you know, the junker that, you know, I hope it gets you home. It wasn't one of those. It was a nice car. And the Lord had us give it away. And we agreed and we did it. And I said, well, okay, Lord. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a $20,000 car, but it was a nice car. And okay, Lord, here you go. And it wasn't, but a couple weeks later, we get somebody said, hey, you know, the Lord put this on our heart to give you, and they gave us a check for $10,000. Now, I'm not saying I gave that away to get something, but I gave that away to be obedient to God because I wanted to do what Jesus commanded me to do. Because why? Because I love Him. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll encourage you to continue to do what God's told you to do. Glory to God. What's $10,000? What's $20,000? What's $100,000 to you when you get to heaven? Nothing. Nothing. So, Lord, I just want to please you. Why did I bring the money issue up? There's many other issues because money's probably some of the hardest we have to deal with. Right? Because there's a whole trust issue that comes in. But the Holy Spirit will help you through all of that if you develop a relationship with Him. Come on. But He's not just with me, He's in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Comforter, the Helper is in me. Glory. Glory to God. Let's read just a little bit more. It says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. Many people that you've met, many people that were around, they were abandoned, they were neglected, they were, you know, and that spirit kind of holds over them. That if you ever known anybody that's been rejected, they have this spirit of rejection over them. And sometimes trauma causes that, and you just feel less than because of what's happened to you, and it must have been your fault, and blah, blah, blah. Or I'm not as wantable as anybody else. Right? I mean, that person over there, I watch them and people just are all around them because they want to be with them, but I'm not wantable. I'm telling you right now that Jesus didn't give you that orphan spirit. And it's time to stand up to that orphan spirit and say, look, I don't care if no one else wants me, God wants me. But the reality is that others want you. It's just the devil that's put that spirit over you so that it dispels people rather than attracts people. You said, if I'm only this, if I'm only that, if I'm only this. Listen, what else can you be but filled with the Holy Spirit? What else, what other requirements do you need? God is in me. God is in me. God is in me. The Helper is in me. God wants you to know that He didn't leave you alone. He never left you as an orphan. He's in you. He's with you. You need to start acting like you believe that. That's how you tell yourself not to be troubled. That's how you tell your heart not to be troubled. Why? Because if you know that God is with me, then everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Well, what if this happens? Everything's going to be all right. What if that happens? Everything's going to be all right. What if they come to tear us apart? What if they come and won't let us meet anymore? What if it's going to be all right. Why? Because He's with me. He's not just with me, He's in me. And He's in you, and He's with you, and the Holy Spirit's put us together, and He'll continue to do the things that He wants us to do. Glory to God. I need help on my job. You got help on your job. I need help in my marriage. You got help in your marriage. I need help with my finances. You got help in your finances. Whatever you need help with, He's there, and He's not just with you, He's in you. But you have to look within instead of without, and develop that relationship so that He can pull you up to the next level. Come on. Anybody need the Holy Spirit? Anybody need the Holy Spirit? Come on. He's with you. He's in you. Glory to God. Verse 25. Let's just go there because I got to quit. No, let's go to 23 and I'll read through it. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Quit making excuses for yourself for not keeping his word. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We need to do that, absolutely. I don't want to become too religious. Well, if religious is keeping his word, then become very religious. Thank you. Whew. Verse 25, "These things that I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Amen. I'll do it. I'll bring it. The Holy Spirit's ministry, here it is. He's there to help remind you of what I've said. And watch the result of living that kind of lifestyle. Verse 27 says, "The peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. Come on. The Holy Spirit is in you to make that a reality for you. Amen. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I'm so grateful for everybody that you've allowed me to speak to this morning, whether they're here, whether they're on the live stream. God, we just thank you and praise you for the miracle that is your word. I ask you, God, to fill every person in here and every person that's listening with such a revelation, just a knowing that the Helper has been given to us individually. Holy Spirit, I don't even have words to utter to say how much I appreciate you being in me. We love you. We thank you. All of us collectively, me at the head of the line, I ask you to forgive me for not listening to you. Forgive me for taking you for granted. Forgive me for not calling upon you when my flesh is trying to overrule me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Help me now go forward with a new direction, with a new, just a new excitement about my life, knowing that you want to use me and work through me. I just thank you for it. Again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." You have to recognize that your sin is keeping you away from God, but God sent Jesus to die on the cross, that whoever believes in him would inherit eternal life. So you have to lay your life before him and say, "God, I recognize that I have a need of you, and the only way to get through you is through Jesus. So I ask you, Father, forgive me of my sins. And Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I believe in my heart, so I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that, God, you've raised him from the dead. Thank you." If you did that, then the Holy Spirit is not just with you, around you. He's in you. Amen. And he wants to guide you, lead you, and love you. So just go with God, be with God, be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.